We're going to begin again from Ois Ayin Ches. We will bring ourselves back into the subject. Basically, Kuzari is one like straight, long, run-on sentence. That's basically what the Sefer is like. So wherever you are in the Sefer, you're right in the middle, and you have to recapture the train of thought. Oh, look at my boy. We're just starting. So let's recap where we stand now. Kuzari told us a fundamental point, that there is no such thing as nature. Delete that from your lexicon. Because everything we call nature is Hashem at work. So you might as well just replace the word with Hashem. Meaning, it's not, when we talk about Derech HaTeva, from people tend to understand that as a Shabbos clock. Hashem set certain things in motion, they run, Hashem kind of sits back and watches. Now we all believe that He's always watching, so he makes sure that the system is running right. Once in a while he steps in and makes a change, and that's what we call an ace. And he told us that isn't true. Anything you see happening in this world, you see Hashem doing. Anything you see existing, you see Hashem willing right now. And therefore, everything you see around you is just the word of Hashem at work. Consciously, actively, right now. It's not that Hashem commanded, let there be a table, and therefore the table continues to exist until it rots. It's that Hashem, at every instance, is saying, continually, how do you do this? We run out of bread. But there is a continual command, let this table exist. And that's the table that you see. So when you look at your own hand, you're seeing what Hashem is busy with now. Hashem is busy granting you a hand. He didn't grant you a hand when you were conceived. He's granting you a hand right now. Now, however, Hashem did create rules that He works with. And people can pull the strings of these rules. When we're in this world, we have Bechira, which is an immense power. We have the power, kiviyochol, to, if we'll put it in blatant terms, activate Hashem. Hashem is willing to, as long as we're in this world, Hashem says, you know what, Rabbi Isai, you're the bosses. I'll perform at your word. And therefore, for example, Hashem created water. Water makes things wet. It's not independent. Water doesn't have an independent power to make things wet. Hashem makes things wet through water. Therefore, if you decide to throw water at somebody, Hashem will make that person wet. Right? Happens every time. Works. Try it. You throw water at somebody, Hashem makes them wet. Does that mean that Hashem wants you to throw water at the person? Not necessarily. Right? Maybe He does, maybe He doesn't. But that doesn't matter. Right now you're in this world, you have Bechira. Hashem said, I work according to these rules. You can use them for good or for bad. So therefore, everything really is about utilizing the rules that Hashem works with. It's everything that we do. From the simplest of actions to much more complex actions. And therefore He said, for example, you can activate Hashem in a much more complex way. Hashem says, if you put a seed into soil, I will respond by producing a huge, complex tree. Then, the Kuzari told us that understanding this is really the root of all service of Hashem and of all sin. Not all sin, of sin. Well, this is where we are now.
What does it mean, activate Hashem? He's constantly doing it. We're using a feature of Hashem, water, fire, whatever.
Right.
Activate.
Well, okay, I don't like the word because it doesn't sound good to put it that way. I'm struggling for a better way to put it. But what I mean is, for example, you threw water at a person, Hashem will make that person wet.
I didn't make him wet.
What's that?
Hashem made him wet or I made him wet?
That's a tough question, and the answer with Bechira is you can put it either way you like. Both are true to an extent. Meaning, even the Bechira that you make, any move that you make, completely depends on Hashem's cooperation. You have to realize, when you decide to defy Hashem by doing an Avera, Hashem is giving you the Koyach at the time to do it. And therefore, yes, Any choice that you make, any action you do, you're doing in cooperation with Hashem. The Sfarim know this. This is part of what a person should be so embarrassed about when he does tshuva. Say that you abused the fact Hashem told you, if you want to do things, I'll help you. And you go and use that against him? That's part of the mortification a person should feel when doing tshuva. Mele, if Hashem gave you certain properties and says, I'll meet you in 120 years and let you run around by yourself, and you did Averis, and he gets a report at the end of the 120 years, alright, it's a little unpleasant. But when that's not what's going on, when Hashem says, you really have the powerless, you can't do anything. But if you want my help, you can signal it by picking up your hand, and I'll help your hand go up. That's like what we discussed. That's actually how it works. All you do is give an order from your nervous system. Then the hand goes up by itself. It's Hashem. Any action that you do, anything you do, you completely rely on Hashem's cooperation. If we said, for example, you grow an apple tree, what does that mean? What'd you do? You dropped the seed in the ground. No, I worked very hard. I watered it all the time. Did you break it down to its particles and actually start schlepping out of the apple tree the sprout and etc., etc., etc.? You put each apple on the tree? What do you mean you did? Yeah, you did. All your effort amounted to 1.5% of the work. Hashem did the rest. Right? Or like we said, the example that the Kuzari said. A person joins together with his wife. They had a child. What do you mean you had a child? How much of the activity did you do? Right? You do an action. Hashem goes into high gear and puts in a lot of his input, and your action has its result. That's how it is with everything we do, to different extents. Now sometimes it's fine. Right? You spill water on the floor. Hashem is cooperating with you and making the floor wet. Okay. No sin. No mitzvah. Nothing. You made the floor wet. Now, sometimes it's an avera. Sometimes it's a mitzvah. So let's see. So here we're going on to the next stage of this discussion. After we define that this is really what nature is all about. Nature is seeing Hashem at work. And your input to nature really is just a way of cooperating with Hashem's workings in the world and directing them in the way you want them to go because Hashem gave you that choice. Let's take this to the spiritual level. Hashem says that in the same way that putting a seed in the ground will have the effect of a tree, eating a matzah on the evening of the 14th of Nisan will also have a very, very great effect that will produce something much greater than an apple tree in a place you can't see right now. Certain things can actually have a spiritual effect in this world. For example, this Alter von Kelm says is also how it worked when Moshe did the Makis. We understand that there's something completely different. Moshe picked his hand up and Hashem brought a whole cloud of locusts on the Mitzrayim. That's completely supernatural, right? So the Alter von Kelm says, well, it's not any more supernatural than planting the seed. Hashem has certain workings, certain rules of nature, right? We call it rules of nature. Rules of the way he operates. If you put a seed into the ground at the right time, in favorable conditions, right? Look what will happen. Whoa, a whole apple tree emerges. It's the same thing with Moshe. Hashem simply told Moshe, there's all kinds of spiritual cause and effect in the world also that's all Hashem. If you put your hand up into the air at exactly the right time, on the right day, the result will be, just like the seed causes a whole chain effect, this also will cause a whole chain effect in the spiritual realm that will naturally cause a cloud of locusts to come on the Egyptians. It's all the same mechanism. Just sometimes it's a little bit of a more physical sphere, sometimes in a little bit more of a spiritual sphere. But it's all the same thing. So now he says that this, understanding this principle, is really the root of loyalty and of sin. So the king says, how could that be? So Omar HaChover came. So the sage answers, yes, that's how it works. Ki ha-dvarim asher yichavnu likabel horshomim ohem o'elokim. While we can figure out certain rules of nature by ourselves, and we understand that yes, When you put a seed into the ground, Hashem responds by sprouting a tree. When you're talking about spiritual effects, you can never figure out by yourself what has good effects, what has bad effects, because you're working in a place that you can't see, right? It's like you're sticking your hands into a box, has two holes in it, you don't see what's going on inside, you're moving things around, you don't know if you're improving things or if you're making things worse. So, you have to realize that yes, your actions also have a spiritual effect. What is the spiritual effect? They can have a much greater godly effect than planting a seed, which has the effect of sprouting a tree. Doing certain actions can cause a much greater divine effect. Now, if you want to have the right effect, there's no way for a person to figure that out for himself. You can never figure out exactly how much of what needs to be done in order to cause the proper spiritual effects. Because when you're talking about the big picture, it extends way beyond anything we sense in this world. And therefore, like we said, you understand that Shabbos is a beautiful concept, but you have a tiny little fraction of the beauty of Shabbos. You really have no idea how much bigger it's supposed to go, and therefore, even those of us who understand the concept of Shabbos don't understand why so essential to the concept of Shabbos is taking the fish away from the bone and not taking the bone away from the fish. Because taking the bone away from the fish, not only does it ruin the whole concept of Shabbos, but it has a completely disastrous effect. Tragic. Something more tragic than any tragedy you can comprehend. How does that work? Why is that so? Why is that so? You want to understand? You can't even see what's going on. When you're able to sense things beyond what your five senses can see, you'll be able to understand. But now you can't. So you want to operate on a sphere that's beyond your senses? All you can do is take Hashem's orders. Even if you can figure out that certain things must have a good effect, you figure out that matzah is a nice idea, it's a good way of showing gratitude for Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim, therefore I'm going to eat matzah once a month. Now the truth is that matzah has a very, very, very strong spiritual effect. You might be able to figure that out by yourself, but you can't figure out the right time to do it. You don't know exactly when. Now, even if you could figure that out, person can figure it out, probably the night of Pesach. But with all the mitzvahs, the details get so complex that even the most logical mitzvahs end up involving all kinds of details that are chukim. That can't be defined logically. Achavayosa v'chibura says the essence of many mitzvahs and how they should properly be done. For example, tzitzis should be wool, and it should be four strings. Okay? Vazimun lahem. And also there's a din that they have to be spun with the right intent. Okay? These are things we find with all the mitzvahs. There's all kinds of conditions where a person can be doing the idea of the mitzvah and completely not be fulfilling the mitzvah. Right? What happens if a person was not able to get a hold of a vegetation for schach? So he uses something similar. He uses plastic scraps. It's all the same idea. All the same idea. You can have just as beautiful as sukkahs. You achieved absolutely nothing. You're working with a dead battery, right? And you think you're doing something. You can't know these things. How are you going to figure these things out? Tzorich bozeh el yediyah shleima. You have to have a very comprehensive information. And that information can only be provided by Hashem. He gives it to you in full detail. He has the full picture. He knows exactly what needs to be done, how much, when, etc. Then it can be done right. It's like this with all the mitzvahs. It has tiny details that don't really have much logical basis that make it or break it. So what happened? Kriya Shema. We all understand. Kriya Shema is the concept of Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shamayim, and accepting the yoke of Hashem. So what happens if I did it 3 hours and 1 minute into the day? It's a dud. It's nothing. It's a difference between a nuclear bomb and a party snapper. Not even that. So, therefore, Hashem provides you with a precise manual, exactly what to do, which you follow blindly, right? Because you have no idea what's meant to affect what. And if a person receives this manual, and he makes a point of following it exactly, the right parameters, all the conditions, all the details to the T. Belev shalem, wholeheartedly, that is a loyal servant of Hashem. Now, where is this the root of sin? So here we go back in time.
Does it all detract from it that the manual is from Hashem, but it really took people to figure it out? And, well, the book, the code book we look and read today, took people to figure out. Has many meanings, or we don't know what that means. I mean, we can read the words, but it's
Okay. So Baruch is asking, how do all the interpretation of the Chachamim factor into this equation?
Because he's saying that it's Hashem telling us directly, but
okay,
maybe the Melech would argue.
That's a good question. But the answer to that is two things. First of all, when the Chachamim did come and lay down the parameters of the mitzvahs, they also didn't do it based on, well, it would seem that the most beautiful way to do it would be so meaningful to do it in this way, and therefore we're saying that this is the Gedder. No, what they did is they took the word of Hashem and tried to derive from the word of Hashem its intent without figuring out how they think it should work. Right? Meaning, what is Hashem implying with this word? So the objective the whole time, sure, they're applying human intellect, but it's not implying human intellect to try to figure out how it should work. It's applying human intellect just to figure out what did Hashem mean. That's all. Right? It's never a question of batsa b'chala, machloikis. Does it apply to birds or not? So it's not a question of, well, I don't see why it should apply to birds. And the other one says, no, I think that the concept of basa b'chalav includes birds too. That wasn't the machloikis. Machloikis is drasha. There are means of analysis that Hashem gave us in order to interpret what He said. So it's all a question just of interpreting what did He mean, not figuring out what should He have said.
So I'm asking, does this detract?
So it doesn't. It doesn't.
But
because these are conclusions.
It's based on man's conclusions and machloikis.
Of what Hashem meant. So at the end of the way, we're saying, at the end of the day, what are we saying? They are explaining to us what is contained in this instruction of Hashem.
We're relying on that post at a certain point. It's not real like Rav Yeshua, not like Rav Yehuda.
Okay, so a minute. Let's break your question down a little more. If we could assume that Chachamim always figure out accurately what Hashem actually meant, your question is not a question, right? Because all they're doing is coming and saying, they're interpreting it, they're translating it into English. Right? That we won't say is detracting, right? Your question is, once it starts breaking down into dispute, how do we know where we stand by today? So here we come on to the answer, the fundamental answer, that Hashem said the rules will run according to how the Chachamim construe it. That's the way Hashem set it up. Now that's a long discussion, but we'll save that. We'll address it later in the Sefer. Now, how does this also... So here we understand how this idea that anything you do could have godly effects is the root of all service of Hashem. Understanding that and conforming to His exact instructions is service of Hashem. But how is that the root of sin? So now, if we're going to go back further in time, the truth is that there's a whole spiritual sphere of laws of nature, which we're very far removed from today, but in earlier times, they understood a lot better than we do, the inner workings of the world. And therefore, they were able to experiment with spiritual games to see what has what effects. Because often, a lot of these spiritual activities, they do what they do in that upper world, that we don't see, but some of the effects rain down on this world too. And this, people are able to experiment with, and start figuring out for themselves, and start defining certain laws of spiritual nature that we can use in this world. For example, we said, just like Hashem made a law that water makes things wet, and therefore, if you throw water on somebody, Hashem will make them wet. Hashem made higher levels of law also. Hashem made, for example, a law that the sun emanates heat, and therefore, you want to know a segula. If you're feeling cold, a segula. Line yourself up with the sun, and you will experience warmth. Okay? What are you doing? Same thing. You're simply tapping in, you're accessing Hashem's rules. Right? You know that the sun emanates warmth. By moving into the right position, you're putting yourself in position to receive some of that warmth. Now there's an even higher level. There are different stars, different mazalis, different constellations that have certain properties. Now we don't know how to align ourselves with those ones. You stand under that star emanates parnasa. Okay? Right? Because like Hashem makes things wet through water, He provides parnasa through that star. Now here it doesn't work to figure out, stand exactly under the star and get parnasa. But there are other ways of aligning yourself with that star. And we don't know how to do that. In earlier times they did. They were able to experiment. And they were able to figure out which actions had which effects. Now they didn't see what they were doing in the spiritual realm. But they saw that by playing with spiritual forces, different things that they could affect in this world. That's what Kishuv is all about. This was simply possible alpi experimentation. This is not Kabbalah. This could often be forces koiches of tuma. Meaning, yes, there are certain spiritual laws of nature, and that's what there were in earlier times. There were expert sorcerers. What was that? These were people who, just like the scientists of today, have studied the physical laws of nature until they know how to work them, manipulate them, access them, etc. People in earlier times knew how to experiment on the spiritual realm and figure out what has what effects, how to use it, how to access it, etc. And this really is what sorcery is about. So let's see. Misheishtada letakin dvarim. And people who try to set things up, lekabala ininahu, to bring upon themselves different divine effects. Bemechka usvaris vakoshes. Through study, through experimentation, through reasoning, by studying the works of stargazers, for example. Yes, these stars have real properties and powers. Now, when you say the word power, so you start thinking of an independent force, of an idol. But no, like the Kuzri said, it's the same exact thing as saying that water has the power to make someone wet. Yes, there are different stars and stuff that have the power to make someone rich, to make someone miserable, to make someone happy, to make someone strong, to make someone weak, make someone healthy. And you can play with these things. Vayirodas haruchnis, and ways of bringing down certain spiritual effects. Vasias hatzlamim vahatalasmois. And making different images and talismans that do what? They serve mamish, like we said last week, it's mamish like an antenna that can absorb spiritual realities and bring them in. Just like, right? We know today we can relate to these things in a different level. There's a whole cyberspace out there, and if you have the right means, you can connect to it and bring things into your house. They were able to do the same thing. You set up a certain image facing a certain way in a certain spot, and at a certain time when a certain star shines on it, that will cause XYZ. These were things that developed from experimentation or from people. They had people who studied these things. Parah had a whole team of Chatumim. Who were they? These were people who were proficient in these areas. They knew how to run these things. So what's that? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If we lived in a time when we saw it working, it would be a little hard to say that. There is an approach that it's all superstition, but that is not the accepted approach. The Ramban says, there's just so much you can deny when things have been seen empirically time after time. We don't see it today, so to us it sounds superstitious. But that would sound exactly as ridiculous, a person in earlier times who would be seen, told, that there are science fiction books written in the times of Hillel, that they'll be able to create this thing that can show you the inside of a body, they'll say, very good, let science fiction stay on the science fiction shelf. Right? Sounds fantastic because it's beyond current experience. Same thing with us. So now, a person who's doing these things, who's busy doing these things, is busy playing with the spiritual sphere. But he doesn't know what really, how things really should be done. The kama, how much of each thing. The eich, and how. Ube'eza makar, and at which time. Ube'eza eis, in which circumstances. Omim ibnei adam, in which people. Meaning, for example, a person might discover that sacrificing an animal in a certain way has a certain effect. It's true. And this is actually something that we use in Ruchnias. Just, Hashem says you have to be careful. Because this is like nuclear energy. If you don't know how to channel it, you don't know what you might be doing. So therefore, if we'll take the example of a carbon, which he's going to discuss soon. Sure. A person who experiments with carbonus at the time when the spiritual world was more activated, like it's not today, he might find that certain carbonus done in certain ways have certain effects. But yet, if you want to make sure you're doing it safely, if you don't want to be playing with nuclear stuff without supervision, so you have to know, first of all, mashiro, what is the right thing to do? Which animals? If a person... well, understand that you shouldn't do treif animals. So he sacrifices chickens. That's absolutely possible for a carbon. The kama, how many? Do you do one sheep a day? Two sheep a day? Once an hour? The eich, how should it be done? We know that it's very complex, the procedure for doing a carbon right. The eiz amakon, in which place? Doing a carbon in the wrong place is dangerous. Right? Doing a carbon in the right place has very great effects. Ube'eza ace. Under what circumstances? Umim ibn Adam. Who should be doing it? Makes a big difference too. Wrong person does it. It could be just a dud. It's not plugged in. Or it could be dangerous. Ve'ichroilis asik b'inyan ahu v'inyanim rabim sipuram yerach. And also more and more and more details when we're talking about all the different areas of spirituality, and we can go on and on. But we all know from the complexity of all of our mitzvahs. Now, the year. Now, a person who wants to play with these things by himself, the Gozari gives a fundamental mashal. Kiksil asher nichnas va'itzor roifei mefusa. You have a famous doctor. In those days, doctors and pharmacists were one job. So, a doctor has a whole drugstore full of all kinds of potions and herbs and medicines. And now, the Eitzah Reif in Mefursam Kirif Voice of Me'ilas. Now, everybody knows that there's this doctor, Dr. So-and-so, who has his whole storehouse of thousands of different types of herbs and things. They know that this guy knows the business. He's very good. Okay? Now, so one day somebody decided, look, I can do it myself too. I know what he does. It's all things from that storehouse. It's all things from that room. I'll go in there, I'll figure it out myself. I can do the same thing. So he sneaks into the doctor's house when the doctor's on vacation. Every day there's a whole line outside. So this guy, the doctor always wore a surgical mask, so he puts on a surgical mask, everybody thinks it's the doctor, and he's there ready to play the role. And he knows what you do. You take stuff out of the back room and you give it to the sick people and they get better. Nothing to it. So, this guy is ready to play the role. He figured out the doctor's trick. All you do is get stuff from the room, give it out, tell people to take it. So he did that too. He gave things out freely. And he had no idea what he was doing with these medicines. He didn't know how much of a dosage. We all know that something that is life-saving when it's given in one dosage is a could be lethal when it's given in too high a dosage, right? He's busy dulling it out, and he's smart enough to keep track, to keep a record. Okay, the Sanoshim Rabin Berfuy saying he killed many people. He killed many people with medicines that could have helped them. But this guy is smart. Babas work this way also, a lot of them. You know what a Baba is? Baba are the Neo Mikubalim, who are giving out all kinds of remedies. I saw one at work once. Basically, what he does is like this. You want to be gain a claim. So now what happens? He keeps track of the successes. He gives out these medicines by the ton. People are dying left and right. But if he's giving out to 1,000 people, a certain percentage he's going to hit on the mark, right? Those people are going to come back. Those people will testify. They'll give him, what do you call it? Approbation, testimonials. They'll be interviewed, and they'll say, this guy saved my life. He knows what he's doing. Now that guy also kept track of the medicine he gave them. So now he's figuring it out. So, Yitu bnei Adam Eilo v'yom likyu amoyu. So if he ever hits home, they'll say, oh, this guy, he's the man. And that medicine, it did the trick. Adasha yiru lizulah soiteo es b'mikro. I saw a guy do this. I could do this too. Anybody could do this. You publicize yourself as a miracle worker. You promise people who have no children, that within a year they're going to have a baby boy and you're going to come to the bris. And promise all kinds of people who are sick that they're going to get better. Promise, dole out shiduchim by the dozen. Promise people within an amount of time. It's part of what makes it impressive. Within 3 months, you're going to be engaged. You do it to enough people, you'll have 3 successes. Okay? And those people will go on and on about you. They had personal experience. They had personal experience. I saw people do this. They had personal experience. It worked. The guy told me and it happened. And not just me. They give you, when they put an ad about the guy, that he's coming to town, everybody should come to get a bracha, they have a list of phone numbers. People experienced Yeshua's with this guy. That's the way it works. You try it enough, you'll have successes. So therefore, as we say, you want to test a person's greatness, test him on shas. That doesn't come from just trying a lot of times. Don't go by his track record in providing shiduchim. Okay. Now, I had a nis. I once went to a very choshev rov. I told him mazal tov, he had a granddaughter. So he told me, you should have simchas bayu soon. The next week we had a baby. The next week. And my secret is that my wife had already been in her 9th month before that. Okay? I told it to him afterwards. He came to the Kiddush. He liked it. Okay. Fine. Now, so these people are impressed. This guy knows the business. And they don't realize that what actually works is, he says, no, really, it's the original doctor who got these medicines. But the thing is that if you would work with the doctor instead of this guy, there's so much more you could be doing, and with so much less damage. But this guy, it's hit or miss. You don't know it. But he's actually, every time he gives something, it's hit or miss, right? Now, if you would go, mostly miss, right? But that, we don't discuss. But if you go with a real doctor who knows exactly how much of what and everything, you could be doing so much more and causing so much less damage. So, if the doctor was here, he would be giving out the perfect dosages and the perfect mixtures. Now he'd also be able to do a lot more for you. Instead of just giving you a haphazard thing, even in the case that it works, he would complete the picture by telling you also Imachal umashke, he tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Utnua, he tell you physiotherapy or exercise. Umenucha, vishena, vakatsa, he tell you to sleep a little more, rest a little more, sleep a little less. Vaavir, move to a place with better air. Umishgal, be more involved in marital relations, less involved. This is awesome. He'd be able to provide you with so much more and so much of a bigger picture because he knows the exact science. Exactly in the same way is what people were doing in the spiritual realm. People were experimenting, people were figuring things out. Fine. Therefore, let's say you figure out that burning incense at a certain time causes success in parnasa. You don't see what harm it's doing. Because a lot of herbs will have some positive effects and other negative effects. So this guy discovers that this herb heals two things. But since he's not an expert, he doesn't realize that the terrible stomach aches that the patient is suffering are not coincidental. Because that herb has another effect. It causes terrible stomach aches. You have to mix it with a third thing in order for it to work. Okay? So yes, these people, they discover. Yes, burning incense at this and this time causes parnasa. He doesn't necessarily connect to that. That the fact that three people on his block died that day has to do with that too. But let's say three people on his block didn't die that day. He has no idea what damage he's doing in the higher world. He has no idea what damage he's doing to his neshama. He has no idea what damage he's doing, perhaps, to his nation in general. How he's ruining their fortune. He might realize that yes, while he gained himself some parnasa, he caused a decrease of his nation's fortune when they go out to war. And they're going to lose that war. Is he going to connect it to that? No, he doesn't have the whole picture. It's the Torah that gives you the perfect dosages of exactly what works in the best possible way in this world and in the upper worlds. For your body and for your nefesh. You have to know the business though. So now he says, "V'aderech hazeh hayu b'nei Adam koydem Moshe." This is how the world ran before Moshe came. This, you know, idolatry, sorcery, was so widespread in those times. This was what it was all about. Zulasi ma'at mizor, except for a select handful who never got involved with all this, this is how the world ran. This was science, this was technology. Niftim b'nimusei akrichovim v'atvoy. They would be misled by the different properties of the stars and of different spiritual forces of nature. Also, there's no problem with having, you can dabble in different types of sorcery. Right? There are all kinds of different schools. There's also different gods that can do different things. When you tap in to the sun's supernatural powers, you can achieve a lot of things. But you can be multifaceted, and you could also worship the moon and get what the moon has to offer too. Well, nothing conflicts with the other. Each one has its strengths. So yes, they either switched gods when you discovered a better one. Every so often it would be headlines. New god discovered. Many people would drop their god to go for the better one. This is the 2013 version. More sophisticated. A lot more features this god has. Because the spiritual researchers tapped into new things. So this was what was going on. Or you can also maintain a lot at the same time. You don't have to switch. Hold on to your old god and get the new version too. And they are completely oblivious to the fact that these are all just tools. These are all just tools of a greater power, of one single uniform power. It was not just responding automatically with the properties that he has. He controls it all. Now sure, you can tap into it. Person chooses to do things, he can do what he wants. Instead, people become misled, and they say, "Well, that star is the master of health, and the other star is a master of victory. And that's it. They represent the top of the ladder, each in his field. Different gods have different strengths. And they don't realize that they are inevitably causing more damage than good, even though they don't necessarily see that. They're not necessarily noting those effects. They don't make the connection. Where's the doctor in the mashal? That is the word of Hashem. Any involvement in spirituality without Hashem's guidance is that fool in the pharmacy. The doctor who's running the pharmacy, right, is the person who's running Alpi Torah. Torah is what provides you with the full manual. How to run it all right. Okay? So here we've seen how, yes, this idea of understanding Hashem's workings on the spiritual level, on the physical level, etc., is the root of service of Hashem. It's also the root of idolatry, sorcery, etc. So the truth is, we will note that there's a big machlokes, you mentioned before. The Rambam says none of these things ever really worked. That's the Rambam's famous opinion. None of these things ever really worked. It was all just all of sorcery and idolatry and all of the forces of impurity and all that were really all just fakers. Yeah, it was all fakers. But the general consensus of the authorities is that that's not so. The Ramban, for example, he was the first one, very sharply already contemporary of the Ramban, said that Alpi Kabbalah, we know that no, these things did exist and they were working, and just like there were great forces of purity, of Tara, of true Ruchnius, it was always the other side of the fence with equally great forces of Kirtis Atum. So these things were real. They did work. That was part of what was such a test for the Jewish people in the times of idolatry. Because by dabbling a little bit, you can make life so much easier. The Torah demands taking the long, complicated route. Tshuva, tefillah, and then hoping, etc. You can just set things up. A quick little strike of the match. You burn a little incense, one time, and then you have your parnassah set up for the next 15 years. This is what's going on all around the world around them. The Jews are expected to completely ignore all that and not relate anything to it. Okay. So, this really ends this stage of the discussion, and we'll just preface the next step. Amar Kuzari, so really, we finished the subject. Now the Kuzari will just present his question, which is going to be our subject next week, Bezos Hashem. Okay, let's get back to our original subject. We were discussing the Jewish faith, and we got sidetracked into some very interesting discussions. But let's get back on track. Please tell me the full account of how your Torah developed. There's no question that in tying up the Torah and turning it into one doctrine, there must have been a lot of dissension, there must have been a lot of disagreement. How did it all come together to form the Torah that you now have? How many years did it take for your faith to become based? How long did it take for it until it solidified into the Judaism that we now see? What was the evolution process? Because obviously, the way any religion begins is, it begins with individuals. It begins with an individual who gets a message from God. God tells him what his message to mankind is, and then slowly, maturely, gradually, he implements it more, and it's developed, and it's turned into a full, proper religion. So how did the process work with you folks? And as the core develops, the religion spreads. Sometimes when a religion is lucky, as the Muslims were, as the Christians were, some king will subscribe to the religion. And will already impose it on his people, and then it starts spreading inevitably. So what was the evolution story? How did Judaism evolve? So the Khuzari answers, Lo yokum v'yigdal ala derech hazeh elo hanimusim asichni. Everything that you're describing is not how a religion has to develop. It only has to develop that way if it's being devised by man. If it's initiated by a man, of course it starts with one man. A religion is never going to start with 10 people having inspiration at the same time. It starts with a Mohammed who comes out of his tent, tells people that he had a great revelation, and they did it wonder back in the privacy of his tent. They tell him, do one here too. You don't believe me? Fire and brimstone. But they always happen in secret. You have to accept them. And he convinces people, he's a charismatic guy, convinces five brutes who are big and tough and dumb and gullible, but now they can beat up more people. And that's how it spreads. Or, if you're charismatic enough, you don't have to beat people up. You do it nicely. Christianity, you know, of course, that they brought the message of love and peace to the world. And they have demonstrated that all throughout their history. So, about, what's that? I didn't forget about them. I never knew about them. What's that? Oh, the Mormons. They found that's how they developed. I didn't know that. To one guy. Yeah, and then the angels, he couldn't get back in touch with them. It was before the days of cell phones. So, avalanimus ashas chalase me'abore, but when a religion is actually developed by a creator, it doesn't have to work that way. The same way it can appear to one person, it can appear to a million. It does it in one shot. Hukampitoin. It starts in one boom. The Omar boy, Hayo Viyya Kibuya Sa'ilam. The same way the world began with a big bang. We believe that, by the way. The world began with a big bang. Hashem gave the word, and boom, world came into existence. That's how the Jewish faith developed too. Hashem gave the word, and it was a Jewish faith. There was a nation of 3 million believers. One shot. How long did it take? Well, how long did Sinai take? Maybe it didn't take a split second. Maybe it took 5 minutes. But that's how the Jewish faith was. 3 million people in one shot. And we end with the Khuzari's reaction to this. We'll elaborate next week. Omar Khuzari. The Khuzari says, Hivhaltai sonu bidvarecha achofer. Wait, what you just said is a little shocking. Your religion started with 3 million people in one shot? That's a bit shocking. So Omar Chover, and the Chover responds, you're shocked? Aval einyan mavil yoser. The truth is that it's even more shocking than that, so save your shock. That we'll see next week, Bezos Hashem. Thank you.